some believers, God specially wants to single out for tasks above the normal. So what are some of the dynamics of these special operations?
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching, the timeless Word of God, will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In part one of this message that we heard last week, using the text of 1 Peter chapter 2, Pastor Brian Grant explained how every child of God is a priest unto God and is called to bear witness to Christ. In this week's message, taken once again from Acts chapter 13, Pastor Grant explains how some individuals receive a call to special operations on behalf of the kingdom of Christ. Using the text, Pastor Grant explains how such a special call, even today, must follow the model laid out in Acts chapter 13. Turn there now as Pastor Grant brings the second part of his message, God's Chosen Vessels. Once again, here's Pastor Grant.
So I said every believer is a priest. Amen? We said that some believers are called to special operations. And you understand what I mean by now. Some believers, God specially wants to single out for tasks above the normal. So what are some of the dynamics of these special operations? Barnabas and Saul had now started what is known as Paul's first missionary journey. Here in Acts of the Apostles chapter 13 from verse 4 and on. This first missionary journey, although the shortest, would take 2 years and cover about 1,500 miles. The first dynamic. And I just want to point out to you that some of what we're going to share is consistent with some of the things that you're going to see when God calls you into ministry. But number one, it was Holy Spirit directed. This mission was Holy Spirit directed. Verse number 4, the two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. Listen, they didn't just jump up and say, where shall we go? In our Sunday school lesson this morning, our teacher shared with us, you are faced with situations and you have to ask the Spirit of God what to do. Listen, aren't you glad that the Spirit of God can guide you? Young Christian, I don't want you to miss this. The Spirit of God is not some mystical force. He's not a force, he's a person, and he is a person, equal person in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are all one and equal. And God the Holy Spirit, the minute you became a Christian, listen good, the minute you became a Christian, the Spirit of God came to live in you. So in a real sense, God is living in you, and God who lives in you can guide you. This was a Spirit-directed mission. Now it's interesting to note, don't forget that Paul and Barnabas had incredibly successful ministry here in Antioch. Things were rocking and rolling. The church was rocking and rolling. This was a happening place. People were being saved and being discipled. The church was growing. But these guys didn't say, oh, we can do this, man. We've done it before. We can do it again. No, no, no. It was fully dependent on the Spirit of God. Number two, once you enter ministry for God, expect this. This ministry received satanic opposition. Did you see that in the reading in verse number 6? In verse number 6, as the apostles traveled through the whole island, they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, an intelligent man sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear. But Elymas the sorcerer opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Satan is very predictable. If you decide to step out to serve the Lord, you can expect his opposition. Amen? Once you know you're being led by the Spirit, you can go forth in boldness, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Am I right about that? And so Satan might choose to oppose, but by the power of the Spirit of God, we need not quail up and die and run away. What a scene this must have been. And as our brother Merv was about to read it, he chuckled. But what a scene. Just picture the scene as this sorcerer tries to discourage Saul and Barnabas. But my Bible tells me that the apostle, who's now Paul, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And in verse number 9, and by the way, being filled with the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Spirit, Saul, the Bible says, he looked straight at Elymas. He didn't look to the side. You know, talk to, you know, sometimes we can't look people straight in the eye. Paul looked him straight in the eye and said, "You are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? The hand of the Lord is against you, and you are going to be blind." Wow. When we are under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he gives us special boldness. Sometimes after you're finished saying, you're amazed and you're wondering, "Did I say that?" Not really. The Spirit of God said it through you. Amen. Praise God. So my friend, don't be scared when opposition comes from the devil. He's going to try to oppose. You decide to serve the Lord, all of a sudden you find out, you lost your job. So you say, "How am I going to manage? The car broke down, the washer is in trouble, everything is just trouble all over the place." If you know what God is encouraging you to do, you better press on. But let me give you a bonus point before I come to my final point. Add this to your notes. The mission encountered discouragement. If you notice in Acts of the Apostles chapter 13 verse 5, it ends by saying something. John was with them as their helper. And I don't want you to miss this. This passage doesn't tell you all the details, but as you go from scripture to scripture, you realize this was a big deal. Because by the time you get to verse 13, it ends that when they got to Perga in Pamphylia, John left them. Oh, I wonder if I'm talking to somebody who knows what it is like to have discouragement. I'm not talking now about satanic opposition. I'm talking about discouragement from the saints. Here they are working as a team, and all of a sudden, one third of the team says, "Bye-bye. See you later." Has that ever happened to you? Your team disappears on you? Folks you thought you had with you, they suddenly disappear. You know, sometimes some folks get angry when that happens. Sometimes the ministry leader might even quit. They're so discouraged. The Christians will discourage you. Sometimes by quitting. Sometimes by what they say. Am I right about that? Sometimes by what they do. Sometimes by being unreliable. Oh, I hope I know I'm getting dangerously close to trouble now when I talk about unreliable. You know, some Christians would say, "Pastor, count on me. I'll be there." I don't have anybody in mind, trust me, when I say that. Do you realize that the way you execute your priesthood can be a discouragement for others? When you fail to be reliable, when you say things, when you do things, you could be a huge discouragement to others. But my friend, I just want you to know, one, when God calls you to ministry, you should expect discouragement because it's gonna come. But I thank God, He will always remain faithful. And so we keep moving forward. Amen? We keep moving forward no matter what the discouragement. You see, listen, it doesn't matter if there's satanic opposition. It doesn't matter if it's discouragement from the believer. We are thanking God and we are asking Him to order our steps. Somebody say amen. And if God is ordering your steps, stop worrying about the guy beside you is missing in action. God, just keep ordering my steps. Oh God, I want to walk worthy. Your calling to fulfill. Is that the heartthrob of your heart? I want to walk worthy. I want to fulfill your calling on my life. Make no bones about it, young person. Whether you're young or old, I want you to realize God has a calling on your life.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. Further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now, back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
It's not about, come on, it's not about just coming to church. I'm glad you're here. I don't want to just preach to my wife and the kids. I hope they would come. Amen. But it's not about that. It's about achieving God's purpose. The calling that God has. And the songwriter in that hymn, he says, I want to walk worthy. I want to fulfill your calling. And I need to ask you, are you fulfilling God's calling? Have you even tried to find out what it is? Sometimes you won't be able to fulfill it if you haven't exercised the interest to say to God, God, what is your purpose? But final point, it focused on rescuing the perishing. You know, that's why at GCA we will only support ministries that are focused on rescuing the perishing. Oh, we don't mind supporting ministries to help those who need clothes and food and health care. All those things are wonderful, and we want to get involved and help those who need to learn the language and have social needs. We have all those interests, but at the end of the line, our interest is on rescuing the perishing. And Paul and Barnabas realized that anyone who had not received Jesus Christ and Lord as Lord and Savior was under the condemnation of God. You see, Jesus had said in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse number 18, Jesus said, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let me stop here. When Jesus is speaking, he's not speaking about somebody who believes in their head. Someone who mentally assents to the fact that Jesus Christ actually existed. That's not the belief he's talking about. He's talking a belief that creates action. Not that I think this chair could hold me up, but I refuse to sit in it. It's a belief that produces action. It's a belief that causes you to exercise faith. And I want to ask every person here this morning, have you believed in the Son? Have you received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Because if you haven't, you are one of those that the Bible is talking about as the perishing. Now, the perishing comes in all sizes, all shapes, all sizes. Look at the perishing here in Acts chapter 13, verse number 7. In Acts 13, verse number 7, here's what it says. Here's the perishing. This perishing was the proconsul, an intelligent man. In that the Bible takes the time to point that out. This guy was the governor of the entire island of Cyprus. He is a big politician, and he's an intelligent politician. Some people might believe those two go together. But he was an intelligent man. My friend, it doesn't matter what your resume is. Sometimes, you know, some people feel that this gospel is for the poor. I ran into a gentleman on my way to Jamaica and on the plane, and I was reading a book that made him stop to come and talk with me. And he wanted to know who I was. Was I a theologian or what was I? So we had a chance, and I shared the gospel with him. He said, I just wanted to know, I don't believe in God. He says, I am too intelligent for that. I don't know if you're one of those who are as intelligent as he is, but do you believe in God? And this God sent his Son Jesus Christ to pay the price of your sin. You see, listen, the deck was stacked against us. Sin. Our four parents introduced sin into this world. God said, listen, God put Adam and Eve in a beautiful place. And God says, listen, you can eat of everything except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's exactly what they did. They disobeyed God. As a result of that act of disobedience, sin entered the human race. In case you didn't know, sin entered the human race because our forefather Adam sinned. And the Bible says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So that, listen, death has passed on all men because all have sinned. Every human being born is under God's condemnation. This is why it says here, Jesus says, he who does not believe is condemned already. It's not a matter that you'll be condemned in the future. Condemnation, listen good. Condemnation already is resting over your head. What you need this morning is a deliverer to remove the condemnation from you. And this is why we're so glad that we can proclaim to you the gospel of the grace of God, that God loved you so much that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary, that Jesus actually acted as your substitute. He substituted for you. He died in your place. This morning, an exchange can happen. You see, some of you, you're hoping for a different type of exchange. You wouldn't mind if you had your 10-year-old Honda and somebody says, would you like to swap it for my 2015 Lexus? You'd say, good. But God has a better swap. Are you listening to me, young person? Older person, are you listening? God has a better swap. He is willing to take your sin and give you his salvation. If you will open your heart and receive him, he will give you his salvation. You know, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse number 12, the Bible says, when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. He didn't get saved because of the miracle that had happened. He got saved because of the teaching about the Lord. What an amazing story. we've got to tell. What an amazing story. This morning, my friend, it is my hope that just like this proconsul, this intelligent man, this big shot, this governor, this man, he opened his heart. He had heard teaching about the Word of God, and he opened his heart. It is my prayer that you will do just that. But before I sit down, I don't want my Christian friends to miss this. The proconsul's salvation only happened because Paul and Barnabas said yes to God's special call. Because these two men were willing to serve God anywhere. And so here they were on this Mediterranean island sharing the gospel with the governor. You have no idea what God will do with you. You have no idea where God will take you to if you say yes to Jesus. I close with this illustration. What is 750,000 miles long reaches around the earth 30 times and grows 20 miles longer each day? I'll give you the answer. It's the line of people who are without Christ. And sadly, that statistic, did you hear what I said? 750,000 miles long, reaching around the earth 30 miles. Sadly, that statistic is old. It's from a book printed in 1997. The world's population has exploded since then. And here is the tragedy. As the line gets longer, the number of individuals who will say to God, God, you can use me. That line is getting shorter and shorter. And so God, the Spirit of God, blows a GCA. Will you? If I call you, will you? Father, help us by the help of the Spirit of God that we might be determined for you to order our steps.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and He will answer your prayer, and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.